91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. A broken-down vehicle on the freeway is enough to scare the dickens out of a driver. If you've faced that situation, you're aware of the danger and stress involved. Good afternoon, it's Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. Today we offer another in our All in a Day's Work series, and this time we learn more about those shining hour nights, the Road Rangers. The more formal name is the Safety Patrol. They give free roadside assistance to stranded motorists in numerous ways and help to clear traffic jams caused by malfunctions, accidents, or debris. The local fleet is 28 vehicles and up to 13 roam the highways at any given time looking to help. We'll hear all about their day's work next on Topical Currents after the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The Obama administration is urging Congress to approve a two-year budget agreement hammered out by top Republicans and Democrats. NPR Scott Horsley reports the deal could come to a vote in the House as early as tomorrow.
The White House says the budget compromise meets the president's top priorities by lifting caps on both defense and domestic spending. The administration said in a statement the deal would shield programs that working families depend on and break the cycle of what it calls short-sighted, crisis-driven decision-making. The budget agreement would boost federal spending by $80 billion over the next 2 years while preventing a spike in Medicare premiums and making modest changes to the Social Security Disability Program. The deal would also suspend the debt limit until 2017, lifting the threat of a government default for the remainder of President Obama's time in office. Scott Horsley, NPR News, the White House.
No criminal charges will be filed against the South Carolina police officer who shot and killed a 19-year-old during a drug sting in July. South Carolina Public Radio's Laura Hunsberger reports on the announcement today by 10th Circuit Solicitor Chrissy Adams.
On July 26, Zachary Hammond and a date, Tori Morton, drove to a Hardee's in Seneca, South Carolina. An undercover officer had arranged a drug deal with Morton, and when police officers approached Hammond's car, authorities say he accelerated to leave. Officer Mark Tiller fired twice, and his lawyers say he believed Hammond was going to run him over. City lawyers have argued that the shooting was in self-defense, and the state of South Carolina will not file charges. The U.S. Department of Justice is investigating the case. For NPR News, I'm Laura Hunsberger in South Carolina.
President Obama returns to his former home base of Chicago to address top police officials from around the world. NPR's David Schaefer reports the president is expected to call for stricter national gun control laws.
The president's hometown has seen a recent surge in gun violence, with Chicago police reporting close to 2,000 shooting incidents and more than 400 homicides so far this year. The International Association of Chiefs of Police, which Obama addresses today, is endorsing his call for universal background checks for all gun purchases.
David Schaefer reporting. The Senate Armed Services Committee's hearing from two of the nation's top defense officials on U.S. allied operations against the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq. The chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Joe Dunford, spoke of a campaign that is a long way to go to dismantle ISIS, or ISIL.
No one is satisfied with our progress to date. Moving forward, we must continue to work with our Turkish partners to secure the northern border of Syria. We must do all we can to enable vetted Syrian opposition forces willing to fight ISIL. And we must be more aggressive in strikes that will deny ISIL the access they have to oil revenue.
At last check on Wall Street, Dow was down 58 points at 17,566. NASDAQ was off 21. S&P 500 down 11 points. This is NPR News.
From the WLRN Miami Herald Newsroom, I'm Christine DiMattei. Florida's first bear hunt in over 20 years began and ended over the weekend. Wildlife officials expected the hunt to last 7 days, but enough bears were killed after only two. Over 3,000 bear hunt permits were issued throughout the state to hunt a little more than 300 bears. Jeffrey Nail says he caught a 178-pound female bear between trees at a preserve in Lake County.
I knew there was something in there. I didn't know if it was a bear, a deer, or a hog. And it ended up being a bear. So just shot it. Kabang, 300 Magnum.
Wildlife activist Chuck O'Neill says Florida officials could not prove the need to kill any of the state's black bears and that it didn't define clear hunting rules or enforce them.
We had reports of a lactating female being brought in and the hunter bragging that he had to pull the cubs off the mother to get it in the truck.
But state officials say the hunt is an effective way to control Florida's black bear population. They say they're also looking into other methods as well. A nationwide survey finds that most students spend between 20 and 25 hours a year on standardized tests. The Council of Great City Schools surveyed 66 school districts and found the average student takes more than 100 standardized tests before graduating from high school. The report is one reason why President Obama is asking school districts to reduce testing. Miami-Dade School Superintendent Alberto Carvalho agrees there are too many tests, but he says schools should not eliminate them entirely.
This conversation and this report is not meant to empower an abdication of this moral responsibility that we have to our kids and to our parents and to our teachers regarding the importance of testing.
Carvalho says test scores force low-performing schools to improve. But while he supports annual testing, Carvalho has also opposed state education's officials' plans to grade schools this year based on results from Florida's new standardized test. This is WLRN Miami Herald News. I'm Christine DiMatte. And now here's Paul Leary.
Okay, Chris, thank you very much for that report. Topical currents is straight ahead.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Constant Contact, with email marketing features like drag-and-drop editing and mobile-friendly templates. Constant Contact is committed to helping small businesses and nonprofits become marketers. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
And 7 minutes past 1 o'clock, it is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for doing that program without me, Bonnie. I listened to the archive.
We missed you.
You did a nice job.
Thank you very much. Good. Well, this hour we learn more about the people who make traveling our crowded freeways much safer as well as saner. They're the road rangers who give greatly needed aid to stranded motorists and to those involved in accidents or other emergencies.
And just getting vehicles moved to a safe shoulder goes a long way toward safety and reduced delays. With us now is the District 6 Transportation Manager. He's Joe Snyder. He's a 22-year veteran of road and traffic management, including Houston's TranStar system. Welcome to you, Joe Snyder. Thanks for coming down.
Thank you for having us.
Also joining us is Leland DeBuey. He's a member of the Florida Department of Transportation District 6 Road Ranger Service Patrol Team. Welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, could we just get a few acronyms straight here and who administers this program? Because I'm a little confused. We have FDOT, Florida Department of Transportation. We have SunGuide Transportation Management Center, or TMC, and we have Intelligent Transportation Systems. So who does what and who administers the program? Joe Snyder.
Yes, ma'am. It's pretty much handled by the Florida Department of Transportation. It's a lump sum group of individuals. The Road Ranger program is part of the ITS, or Intelligent Transportation System. And it's actually dispatched out of our traffic management center located at the district headquarters at the TMC.
And who's funding it? The Florida Department of
Transportation? It is funded by the Florida Department of Transportation solely.
Okay, and where does State Farm come into this? Because I saw their name.
It's a sponsor for the Turnpike service.
That is a sponsor that is provided by other districts. Currently, District 6 does not have any sponsorship. It's actually fully funded by the basically FDOT.
So what does District 6 entail geographically?
Well, we pretty much handle all of Miami-Dade and the Keys. So, you know, I get to see the beautiful pictures of the Keys every day, but I don't get to visit very much down there.
And how many vehicles are in District 6 in the fleet?
We have 28 currently, and then we also supplement that with construction projects. So when a construction project comes on, we actually add that as a service to the actual project. So we know a lot of times during construction times on the overnight, it causes other congestion and other concerns.
Right.
So we want to have those additional road rangers out there to provide, quick clearance, quick, safe clearance out there on the
roadway. Our studios are at the junction of 395 and I-95. When you guys were traveling here, were you kind of keeping an eye out on the road just instinctively for somebody having trouble?
I'm going to let Leland answer that one since that's in his court.
Yeah, we did come across a couple motorists that were on the shoulder that I made a call into. The other they're called MDX. They cover the highways that I guess run east and west, and
yeah, the toll
hook
roads.
hook up with I-95 and 826.
And Leland, how long have you been a road ranger?
20 years off and on.
So you started as a road ranger. Where? In Miami? In Florida?
In 1995, the program originated, I believe, and I was hired as one of the first road rangers. They actually called them the service patrol, and some of the older troopers still call it service patrol. But it was the same premise. We only worked Monday through Friday, though, 6 until 7 p.m. So it was kind of up in the air on the weekends for people to get assistance. And I believe a lot of incidents and fatalities and stuff helped bring it now 24/7.
Give us a feel, Leland, for an average day as a road ranger. There must be many surprises, but an average day, how does it go?
Well, we come in the morning, check our equipment out about 45 minutes before we hit the road, make sure everything's good with us.
You have a depot?
Yes, we have a hub, yes, okay. That we work out of.
Okay.
We want to make sure we're good and we're not going to be breaking down so that we can go out and help you guys.
Right.
But we initially get out on the highway. We call in to the TMC and let them know that we're in our beat or our area of patrolling. And we start out actually patrolling, looking for, could be a motorist on the shoulder that's broke down, a lane that's blocked that's going to impede the traffic flow, or even just debris. Debris falls out of pickup trucks or gets kicked in off the shoulder and back into lanes. And that is something that's just as dangerous as being in an accident, because it does create accidents.
This can be really serious business, considering how many times we read of fatalities of someone helping someone change a tire, mm-hmm. or aid another motorist in some way.
That's true. We do a lot of detailed training to teach these guys how to approach different scenarios, but actually every day, every scenario is different. So you have to have some non-fear of the traffic flow and have an agenda of how you're going to go approach a certain situation.
How long is a shift?
A shift is 8 hours.
And when you work, I mean, you're 24/7, so if you work nights, weekends, holidays, any of those times, do you get a different, are you compensated differently than if you just work 9 to 5?
Yes, we do. Yes. We do have some opportunities of overtime when there's a shortage in personnel. We try to cycle vacations for everybody, and we try to work a 40-hour shift, but there is opportunity for overtime.
Joe Snyder, Leland talked about the training, the specialty training. What's the highlight of that training process?
Well, it really starts with train the trainer type program. And what we do is we sit down and train their management staff. And Leland's been through our train the trainer program. So we want to make sure that everybody knows exactly what's going on. And a lot of the driving forces is actually from the federal highway. Their DOT has put together a training program that we use extensively in a lot of our programs. So we follow a lot of the federal highway rules and regulations. You know, for us, the manual uniform of traffic control device is our really, lack of words, our Bible when it comes to do a lot of this stuff. So we follow what is known as the 6I rules and regulations when we're responding. So we have to provide out certain MOT. We have to provide additional information.
MOT.
Maintenance of traffic. So we put out actually traffic cones to make it really safe around there. So that's something that we really hit home. What is our typical scenario? What is you're going to be going out there? Are you actually pacing out far enough to make sure that you're adding a good transition? And then we have individuals that are monitoring these guys when they're going through their training process. Like Leland's a lead person. He's one of the shift super or one of their supervisors that goes out there and rides around with these guys and say, okay, you didn't extend your traffic right. You didn't set up things correctly. You didn't do anything. So they have a classroom setting first, and then they go and do a 40-hour work week and riding around. Because the one thing we want to find out talking to them is, this job's not for everybody. It's a special person that's doing this in this actual task.
Well, because people are so distressed and upset when you encounter them generally. So you have to be a certain kind of person to deal just the psychology of it, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, they got to know how to calm the person down. And that's one of the things that we do. And that's really more on the job. Hey, how do you handle this individual? And they are the face of our department when it comes to really interfacing with the motorist one-on-one. So they go out there and they work on those type of things and work on the scenarios and making sure that they're following all the procedures that are out there. Then they have to go through a test. They have to come back to our actual TMC with our Road Ranger contract manager and go through a written exam. And if they don't pass the written exam the first time, they get another chance to pass it. And if they don't pass it the second time, they're not allowed to be a Road Ranger. Then we go to a practical exam. And if they don't pass the practical exam twice, then they're not allowed to be a Road Ranger either. So we want to make sure that we're putting out, one, standardization. And it's key because we want, when we roll up, we want FHP to know exactly what we're going to do.
Can women be Road Rangers?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Many of our listeners, I'm sure, have been in that situation where you break down on a freeway. Perhaps you're over on the right side, and it's such a panic-filled situation. And, of course, as we all know, panic induces lack of rationality. So people really can make silly moves because they're so stressed.
Our biggest thing where we see where people make rash decisions is when they're on the left shoulder. They try to cross a five-lane highway of 95. That's not good. So we have procedures in place where if we feel like they're in an unsafe location, we contact Florida Highway Patrol dispatch and say, hey, we really need to relocate these individuals. And by working so close with FHP, we're going to move them over to the right shoulder. And it's just it's that communication. It's the three C's that we live by: communication, coordination, and cooperation.
I don't know if you can answer this. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I don't know if you're allowed to answer this, but I'm going to ask it. How do you feel about those express lanes? It seems that all those drivers that illegally navigate, go through the pylons from the express lane onto the main line, from the main line onto the express lanes, and it seems like they're more hazardous than an asset. Do you have a feeling about that?
Yeah, actually, we oversee the express lanes. I don't want to take away from the program, but I'll quickly answer. I mean, we are combating the illegal movement. We're working with FHP to combat the illegal movement. And we're working at our central office level to figure out how we can combat some of those type of things. But, you know, with our Road Rangers out there, we want to make sure they're safe. And we're constantly looking at our procedures. We're constantly doing data analysis.
Can't they make it so they can't get through them? Or do you have to have them accessible to get out of them so that people just can't go in and out of them?
Well, currently that's a little bit beyond my knowledge. I'm more of an operations guy. So at that point, that would be something that we would have to talk to the engineers.
I take I-95 north every afternoon. And if there's a traffic jam and it's crowded, I'm in the speed lanes, the toll lanes. I will not be in the right lane of the speed area because people pull out. And if you're doing 65, I never go over 60.
Right, Joe.
You really would rear-end them very easily.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the basic that we tell everybody, hey, it's an option for you. It's a solution for you to have a ability to move through the corridor. And, you know, you need to pick the safest route for you. And that's one of the things that, you know, it works well for you. And, you know, we see every day the benefits of the express lanes and how well they work and when they're all working well and going through there. And then what happens is a lot of times that you guys get caught up and you see the incidents that occur. And then that's where the Road Rangers tie in to getting those express lanes cleared.
We're talking about Road Rangers. It's all in a day's work with District 6 Transportation Manager Joe Snyder and Leland DeBuey. He's a member of the District 6 Road Ranger Service Patrol team. A short break. We'll be right back.
And we return. It is today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. We're talking about the Road Ranger Service Patrol team with Joe Snyder and Leland DeBuey. If you'd like to join in with a comment or a question, perhaps some kudos for a Road Ranger experience you've had, you're certainly welcome to call in. 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN. Also email, that's radio@WLRN.org.
Joe, during the break, you were saying you're passionate about this. So each of you, Leland, starting with you, why do you love doing this?
I've been on the other end where I've been broke down in the past, and I feel that I can help some people. And the Road Ranger program, we're not all mechanics, but we have mechanical aptitude, and a lot of times we can do the minor fix or the muscle part of tire change.
We get
or
to be a hero about what, 10 times a day?
How many calls a day? Yeah.
During a shift?
Well, when I was out there full time, we were probably about 20 during an 8-hour shift. But now we have more Road Rangers, so I would say they're probably doing about 8 to 10 themselves.
But we have more cars.
We do have a lot more cars, but they seem to be running pretty good. We do multiple accidents, though, and that involves multiple trucks. So,
what's the most common disabler? Is it flat tires?
That's a good question. Well, probably.
Well, let me go ahead and take that. Our biggest activity that our Road Rangers do is our maintenance of traffic. So a lot of more or less handling crash scenes, incident scenes, lane blockage events. The next thing that you see is you're looking at your DAVs, and it can range from giving them gas.
DAVs, disabled vehicles.
I'm sorry. Okay. It's no, old school type
watch.
Of...
Just gotta.
Thank you for catching me, you know. So, but basically, handling disabled vehicles, you know, handling the flat tires, the mechanical issues. When it starts getting during the summertime, you start seeing different trends, the flat tires, you start seeing people overheat. During the winter, kind of more or less, maybe gas issues and, you know, just little simple things that happen where they may need a jump start or, you know, their engine just kind of dies out on them.
Do you tow?
We actually do tow.
Now, is the towing also free? I know that.
Absolutely.
It is.
So what our goal is to
I
clear
bet
the
tow
lanes.
Companies don't like that.
Well, actually, we work so closely with FHP that we don't basically tow them away from the facility. We tow them out of traffic.
I see. Okay.
So we put them to a safe location, and then we allow the motorists to have an option. Either they can use rotational tow, or they can actually call their own tower to come out there and remove the vehicle off the highway. So a lot of times we relocate them to the park and ride on 95, or we basically also remove them to emergency stopping sites that are along the freeway. And that's a lot of people don't understand. There's designated cutouts on most entrance or exit ramps, especially on 95, that you can take your crashed cars, you can take your disabled vehicles and actually get out of traffic.
I've got a question just for fun, guys. How many of those mini spare tires that are in the trunk are actually uninflated? People haven't checked them in years.
75% of them, yes.
Is that true?
Yes. Yeah. How often do you check your spare?
I ask
for it to be checked every oil change.
I have those tires that don't go flat.
Okay.
So I'm lucky. But when I didn't, never.
Okay. In answer a lot to of the cars question. Now are coming without spares and the run flat tires, so
right.
You just need to have a good tow truck company or a motor club of some kind phone number handy, because when they do go flat, you don't have a spare.
Right.
So what happens, okay, there's an accident. When can you move the vehicle and when can't you? Do you summon 911? Do you summon the highway patrol? Leland, who does what?
I would say, well, we secure the scene, check for injuries, and when there are injuries, we make the call to the TMC, advising them that we have an accident with injuries, and they forward that information on to the Highway Patrol, because their dispatch is right above their dispatch in the same facility.
Uh-huh.
And fire rescue is then summoned by the Highway Patrol. Whether the trooper gets there first or not, rescue's on the way.
Now, how do we get you? Is there a number to
call? *347, which is *FHP, and that goes right into the Highway Patrol phone system.
So you'd have that. Should have that on your contacts on your phone.
It's a very
absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Yes, and then it has a option, and the option I believe is if you have a breakdown, that you can go and get switched over to the TMC phone or the actual. FHP puts it in as a call, and then the TMC is then our dispatcher. They dispatch us. So we're out there looking for things, but also the TMC is dispatching us.
Yeah, let me just clarify on that. Once it goes to FHB, FHB actually communicates with us, and then we actually have what is called CCTVs or closed circuit televisions, and we're actually trying to find you before the road rangers are. We dispatch them at the same time, and our operations staff is actually turning the cameras to look for the actual incident.
Are the road rangers particularly cognizant of any bolos that are out there for vehicles they're looking for?
Absolutely. We're really what it is any amber, Leo, which is law enforcement alerts, or silver alerts. Basically, they are advised through a general broadcast, hey, be on the lookout for these vehicles. And then we log it into our system, and it automatically, if that license plate gets into our system, it'll flag. Basically come up and say, hey, this is a situation where we've had another event with this. Our procedure with our operators is they would actually click on that little link, and it would pop up and tell us.
Have you ever had one that they wound up needing service when they were on the run?
Actually, we've had several in the state that have been found by the actual road rangers.
Oh, and what do you do?
So at that point, we just call law enforcement. We do what we do best. Hey, we're here to help you. And most of the time,
stay down.
So most of the time, yeah. Well, for the legal stuff, we back away and yeah. We call law enforcement. But for the ones that are like the silver alerts, missing elderly individuals that are out there, we just comfort them. And a lot of times it's just, hey, you need something to drink. Let's calm you down. We're going to get you guys some help. And then we get the law enforcement out there. And then at that point, they take it over at that point.
Now, I suppose occasionally you will have somebody that it's a medical issue that somebody's mm-hmm. too faint to drive, or perhaps they have heart attack symptoms and they pull over. Right. What do you do then?
We'll advise that we have a medical situation to the TMC, and they will make the call to FHP for a rescue to come out and check on the person.
Will you do CPR?
I haven't personally, but I do know how to do it.
Okay. And I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No problem.
A lot of times you were going to say... people that needed assistance.
A lot of times the people are taken care of by rescue, and they are back into the position to be able to drive away from the scene. Very rarely do we wind up having to tow the vehicle or secure the vehicle if they're transported to the hospital.
Again, our telephone number, if you'd like to join in with a question or comment, that's easy enough, 1-800-743-9576. Also, email radio@wlrn.org. First caller, we have Greg in Fort Lauderdale. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Good.
I just wanted to say, the guys, I've twice had them pull over and help me with spare tires, changing a tire, and the guys were absolutely fantastic. Even gave me a bottle of water while they changed the tire. I kind of felt bad for them. But I wanted to know, is it okay to tip the guys?
We do not take tips. This is all funded for free. So enjoy the service for free. You're going to need to...
I tell you. Go ahead.
You're going to need to be possibly buying a tire or whatever the breakdown was. Put the money in your wallet. You'll be spending it in ways that you're going to need to. We're out there... because we love to do the work. We're losing my words here. We like to help people. We enjoy helping people. And if we can put a smile on your face, it puts a smile back in our heart.
And I'll tell you, if I was just riding on the freeway, I would cancel my AAA, because guys have been showing up before AAA in my experience.
Well, yeah. You'll be surprised. When I worked in Broward, AAA would make a lot of calls to the TMC to see if the road ranger was there already to have changed the tire, because we are pretty fast. As far as we should probably get to you within 10-15 minutes, and a lot of times AAA's quickest response time is an hour.
Exactly.
Sure. But thank you very much.
But don't cancel your AAA, because they tow you off the highway. You need them too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do too much city driving. But thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Should we take one more call before?
Yeah. Let's go to next caller. We've got Doug in Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Doug.
Hey, how you doing? I just want to commend you guys. Fantastic job. I've used you twice in the last year. Once I ran out of gas on the Sawgrass, I thought he meant enough. And you guys came out and helped me out with the gas. The other one was an issue on just recently on the Alligator Alley, about 11 miles out from the Broward line. And the guy was outside with bugs going up our nose. I mean, it was horrible. The bugs were incredible, and he was really helpful and really trying to figure out what the problem was.
It is really stressful when it's so hot outside. Say it's in August, and you're having car trouble, and you're stressed.
Yeah, but it was at night, but, you know, the bugs were still heavy out there, and he was just terrific. I mean, he wouldn't stop. He was looking at this, looking at that, and we're trying to figure it out, and it was like, you know, I mean, just... Yeah, I would have thought he was family. He was really terrific. I really appreciate you guys. I mean it.
Well, thank you very much.
We're glad to hear that. And that's the way we want to make you feel, is you're part of the family. You know, really what central office all the way down to here is we want to make sure that you don't know about boundary lines. Our road rangers are seamless through every single district, should be available to you, and it's always free.
How much is you carry gas, obviously. How much, what else do you carry?
We carry water for overheating. We also have bottled water for drinking when it's hot. Also, some people wind up stranded with pets, dogs. Dogs need water to cool down. We have jumper cables for doing jump starts, jacks for and four ways for changing tires. We have 20 cones on the truck for doing the maintenance of traffic as far as changing. Reverting traffic into a different lane once a lane needs to be cleared for an accident.
How far away do you start those cones? In other words, the distance from away from the car. About how far?
You want me to answer that one for you?
Go right ahead.
Since I'm the technical guy on this stuff.
Sure, go right ahead.
So what you typically do is we do what is called the pacing method, and then we use what is the skip lines. And the skip lines are like 45 feet apart. So we try to start as far back as possible, especially if it's at night. We want to go a little further because we want to give enough taper to allow people. And then if they end up not seeing the cones, they can run into the cones and not run into our road rangers.
Right.
So it's a safety issue. So typically we do 10 paces out, and that's like basically a 3-foot step all the way down. And then we take our first cone and put it on the shoulder of the road. Then we move our next cone out. We go back one step back, put it out, and then we follow the process till we get to almost to the truck.
Isn't it dangerous to lay down those cones?
Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
And that's the one thing that I really need to get the message out here is when you guys see or any of the motorists coming up to these individuals that are putting this stuff out or on the accident scene, it's the law. You guys need to move over for all first responders or slow down. Because these guys are out there to protect somebody that may be your family member that's actually having an injury, of a crash, you know, disabled vehicle. And the last thing that we want to see is one of those individuals get hurt, because they're putting their life out there first to protect your family when they're out on the highway. And that's the way I look at it. You know, anytime I see any of the road rangers, I'm very appreciative of those guys that are out there doing that type of work before. It's rewarding. But it's very dangerous when you're out there driving by the motors.
Because you're going so fast.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're speaking all in a day's work today. We're speaking with Road Rangers, District 6 Transportation Manager Joe Snyder and Leland DeBuie, a member of the District 6 Road Ranger Service Patrol Team. We'll be right back. Take more of your calls and your emails. Stay with us. Welcome back to All in a Day's Work with Road Rangers, District 6 Transportation Manager Joe Snyder, and Leland DeBuie is District 6 Road Ranger, part of the District 6 Road Ranger Service Patrol Team. If you have a question, if maybe you're thinking about becoming a Road Ranger, or if a Road Ranger has ever saved your day, you want to give a call, 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. Email is radio@wlrn.org.
Joe Snyder, do other areas of the country have this service?
There are several areas in the country. I mean, but they have different variations. I mean, I'm very proud of Florida and how they've embraced to take this, you know, statewide. You know, it's a situation where they, a lot of just small, smaller states will have it just in large, you know, metropolitan areas. We really try to brace, especially in the South Florida region, everywhere. I mean, you know, Alligator Alley, you heard the caller talk about, you know, the only area that we don't cover in Miami-Dade is really the Keys at this point. So, you know, really Miami-Dade's our focus with the Road Ranger program, because
I go back to the old motorist aid callbacks on the side of the road.
Well, they still have those, don't they?
And you'd approach them, and somebody's been shooting them with 22s, and they're useless.
A lot of them been replaced. So a lot of them have been phased out, especially with the way our intelligent transportation system works. We have dedicated TMCs that are looking for these individuals on the road and working with law enforcement, working with the fire rescues individuals to get us the information and really getting that information out and get the road rangers there as fast as possible. I mean, that's our goal, is to get the lanes open as quick as possible.
Oh, speaking of Alligator Alley, and I think we've all been in this situation, Eric writes, what do you do when you're faced with aggressive drivers? I was driving from Naples on Alligator Alley Sunday, speed limit 70. I may have been driving 75. Motorcyclists came through, weaving out in and out of the cars over 100 miles an hour. Called the State Highway Patrol to report, couldn't get through. Concerned that someone would be injured, what's the best way to report an impending accident situation?
Well, they did the actual right thing. I don't know why.
By calling FHP.
Yeah, calling FHP. And the best thing, like I coach my kids or anybody that's driving since I've been in this business, is back away from those individuals. And, you know, get away from them. It's not your job to be a law enforcement officer. You know, give them as much information to the dispatcher. Eventually, the guys in the blue lights will find them. You know, and they do a really good job of trying to crack down on, say, aggressive drivers. And I know that they do a lot of campaigns on Alligator Alley with FHP, and they really, really try to enforce that type of and discourage the motorists from doing that.
And Shayla wants to know the qualifications to become a road ranger. I was going to ask, are there age restrictions or what, Leland?
That's a good question. Probably at least 21, I would imagine, for our insurance purposes with driving the vehicles. We do have CDL drivers that need the CDLA to be able to drive. CDL, the commercial driver's license.
Ah, okay.
For the tow trucks and for our flatbeds. We also have a heavy duty, and we are the only county here in South Florida that has a heavy duty, so we feel real proud when we're able to move a tractor trailer out of the way that's impeding traffic for you guys. So Dade County has everything I believe they need to remove
something.
Well,
that must be fun to drive that baby.
Is there an application process? How does one apply?
Actually, probably for them, the best way of doing it is getting hold of our public information officer, and we can get them in contact with the individuals that do that, because there's several companies that work for the department that do this type of services, and then we provide all that information to
They call
our standard TMC number. It would be 305-470-5757 and ask for Alicia Torres. She's the public information officer.
Okay.
And let's take some more calls. We've got Jackie in Delray. Hi there.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
I just want to make a simple comment, because I do work for law enforcement, and there's been many occasions when I'm working an accident and the road rangers pull up at one of our entrance or exit ramps. Very, very helpful and very, very much appreciated. I hope that you guys continue to be funded through the state, because you are a great help.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
We're looking to keep you safe, too, when we can.
Oh, thanks for calling. Okay.
And we'll go along to Louise in Miramar. Hi there.
Hello there. How are you? Listen, this is the best call I've ever made. I just want to take as little time as possible. On my way to work, 3:30 in the morning, driving a 1979 Toyota Celica. My car is telling me something is going to happen. It did happen. My tire blew out. I was able to pull into the left lane. Call my insurance, no go. Call AAA, no go. I sat there and I said, God, what am I going to do? And then Road Ranger came to mind. I spoke with the trooper. He said they will be there shortly. And I mean, they were there shortly. 10 minutes after I called, the gentleman was there. He came out of his truck. And the very first thing he said to me was, are you okay? And of course, I was a little shook up, but I said, yes, I am. He says, well, let's go to the road and let's help you out. You were talking about the spare tire. Well, 79 Toyota. You don't take a look at your spare very often. But most importantly, the service that you provide is very good, but kudos and thank you for those that provide the service. He had me going in 15 minutes. I was on my way to work. I got to work on time, and I had a fantastic day. So thank you very, very much.
I don't want to sound like car talk, but how's the 79 Toyota?
79 Toyota's in the garage with a new tire, and it's run perfect.
Oh, great.
And every time I see those Rangers on the road and I see those cones, trust me, I move to the side because I know they're doing something important.
Oh, thanks, Luis. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
My pleasure, and keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, give me a step-by-step of how I should handle the situation. Let's say I'm in the middle lane, and suddenly my engine dies, and I have no power, and I slowly crawl to a halt. Right. What do I do from there?
Pray.
Pray works. I mean, pray works. The best thing that you can do is stay calm. And then everybody has cell phones.
Of course, you have people on the horns behind you.
Right. And that's what's getting you. You're going to get frustrated. You're already scared. It's a situation that call *347. Call *FHP and let them know what you're doing. And then what we'll do at that point, once we get the communication to us from FHP, which is pretty quick, we'll dispatch a road ranger. And you should have a road ranger in there within 10 to 15 minutes and go from there. The worst thing you can do is get out of traffic and start playing around in traffic.
Okay. Getting out of the car.
Right. Yeah, getting out of the car. Stay in the safe area of your car because, you never know when somebody may come up and hit you. And make sure that you're wearing your seatbelt at this time.
Emergency flashers.
Right. Stay in the safe area of your car, what's that?
Well, your seat. Make sure that you're not looking around. A lot of times you'll see people that'll get out of the car. They'll try to climb in the back, look at different things.
Okay.
And it's just sometimes they just get a little panicky when they're out in that situation. And I understand. I mean, me and Leland have been out there on the highway. And believe me, when we get to step out of our car sometimes, it's a little scary. But, we're trained how to handle that type of situation.
Some people open the hood to show that they're having difficulties,
right.
But that would entail getting out of the car to put it in its upright position, which you recommend against.
And it also depends how fast traffic is going. If it's in the middle of rush hour, typically people will feel more comfortable getting out of the car.
Right.
And putting the hood up is a good indication of that. But if it's high speeds, it's in the middle of the night, non-peak period times, just sit tight. Let us get it there, and then hopefully we can take care of you before anything bad happens to you.
Your biggest fear is getting rear-ended.
Getting rear-ended, but if you're outside the vehicle, the next fear is the car running over you or another car hitting you.
Yeah, right.
Because they're going to be paying attention to your car. They may not be paying attention to somebody the size of a human being.
It's all in a day's work with Road Rangers, Joe Snyder and Leland DeBuie. A short break, and we'll come back and take your calls, so stay with us.
And we return to this today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Bourbon. We're talking about the Road Ranger service that we have here in South Florida. We have a gentleman from the District 6 area there, Joe Snyder and Leland DeBuie.
Do you want to finish what we were talking about at the break? Joe's in the car
kill
and the kill zone. Let's finish that, and then we'll take our calls.
Right. One of the things that we were talking at break was, for motorists that have crashes, the worst place you can get is in between two cars. And the reason why you don't want to be in that area, and we train our operators not to be in that area, is because if another car comes up and hits the car behind, it'll pin you between two cars. And we don't want to see that type of situation because, that's the worst thing for us on scene to see somebody get injured, because we do so much great with helping people on the roadway, but that's what really affects us when we get on scene and see a good person get injured and in that situation just because they're not knowledgeable
right.
about what's going on the highway.
I mean, I guess it's bad enough to encounter tragedies, but
right.
when they happen when you're there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's always best stay in the car.
Stay in the car.
Yeah, stay in the car is the best.
And most
best.
Everyone has a mobile phone, so they're in
Absolutely.
Contact and know that help is on the way.
Absolutely. And if you're staying in the car, you're going to be signed. You're going to have one of the people that have been trained how to handle traffic show up, and basically they're going to guide you. And then sometimes I know when it gets into crashes, they don't want to relocate. But if you have no injuries, it's the law. You need to relocate to the shoulder of the road. So if you guys would comply with that type of situation, law enforcement is going to be able to figure out how the crash happened And you know, they typically, most people say, hey, lawyers say don't relocate the vehicle. But
right.
The safest thing is to get out of traffic so that way you don't get injured.
I was just going to ask if you've ever encountered a woman that was about to give birth and couldn't make it to the hospital.
No, I haven't. I'm sorry.
Joe?
I have heard stories of it, but I've never personally.
But it has happened. I mean,
it has happened throughout the United States where you see officers that do this, and I've seen it on some of the news stations. And, you know, those are the highlights of that officer and the people's lives when they have that type of thing. So
I'm sure it's not for the woman.
Leland, no. You've been doing this a long time. How about if you give us just to relate to maybe a couple of the weirdest calls, the strange ones you've had?
Oh, weirdest calls.
We all want to hear that.
Unusual.
Okay. I had a couple elderly women that were heading back to the West Coast from a funeral. And they had a blowout on their tire, and it happened to be the right front tire on a Ford Escort. And when the tire blew, the motor shut off, like what you were talking about. She had no control of the car and wound up spinning off of I-75. And when I got to her, she was crying, you know, despair. She just felt like everything was going bad. And you have to be a consoler to deal with people. So it's just, you know, hey, everything's okay. You didn't get hurt. Your passenger didn't get hurt. And, hey, maybe I can fix this for you. So we proceeded with replacing the tire. She had a good spare in the car. And I said, well, let's take a look at why your car won't stop, you know, start up, because it's uncommon for two things to happen at the same time. Like that, you know, car was running great at 70 miles an hour, whatever it was, when the tire blew. And just so happened, from my past experience working with different law enforcements, Fords have a trip switch that cuts off the gasoline when it's in an accident.
Oh.
And I had her open up her owner's manual. I had a feeling where it was, but I had her open up the owner's manual and said, okay, let's see if that's what it is. And I reached down where the switch is on the passenger side kick panel, and the switch was tripped, but I didn't push the button back in. I wanted her to be able to rescue her own car. So I had her push the button in, then go back over and crank the car up, started right up. So she was able to drive off the highway and get back onto the highway where she could complete her trip. And I'll tell you what, I give out lots of comment cards, but she gave me a bear hug that I could feel my chest crushing.
I was going to ask Joe if any of these rangers have met their future spouses on the road.
Not that I'm aware of. We don't condone dating, but, but you know, you never know where they're going to find love at.
Well, let's take another caller. This is Lorraine in Sunrise. Hi there.
Hi. We were coming back from the Disney World area, and I had two young kids, 12 and 9, in the back seat in a Honda minivan. And my rear tire near the gas tank thing, you know, the entry. Anyway, the tire peeled off, and it shook the whole car, and we managed to get off without rolling. I was scared we were going to roll, and we got off the side of the road. I've been a member of AAA for like 20 years. They refused to come out. We were 30 miles north of Yeehaw Junction. Between Yeehaw and Fort Drum, nobody wanted to come out, and the road ranger just happened by us. He was, you know, just patrolling. We didn't call him or anything, and he happened by and helped us. We put the kids on carpets way out in the grass, far away from the vehicles, you know. And he, you know, changed the tire. He had to put air in the tire. The tire was one of those teeny tiny spares. Mm-hmm. And he put the air in. He gave us all water. You know, like the other caller said, the first thing he did is, everybody all right? I mean, they were amazing. And they had us on our way in no time. And I still keep my AAA because, you know, with the towing thing, but I really rely on the road rangers more.
Well, we try to be there. If we're working in an accident, we might not be as quick as we usually are, but we do patrol, and we're out there looking for you.
Didn't expect to see them on such a long, it was on the turnpike, a long stretch of highway where he must have had to go 30 miles or 40 or 50, I don't know, because there's no exits for a long period of time there, to make a U-turn and come back.
That's true. Down here in South Florida, I think we patrol maybe like a 10 to 12 mile area, and there's usually two trucks work in that particular area at least, so you should see a road ranger pretty quick.
Roseanne writes, sounds like you should be renamed the Road Angels. So how long do you plan on doing this?
Forever.
Forever.
We want to do it forever.
Would you recommend it?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a benefit to anybody. I mean, I educated all my kids. Hey, these are the numbers, how you need to do this. This is a situation you have. Everywhere in the United States has some type of similar program, pretty much in every state. But I'm a little biased. Florida, I think we do it better.
Yeah.
So I mean, we're really trying to strive. We have Central Office, who's a big supporter of us, and, it's just a great program. I mean, it's so rewarding for us to do a service like this, and it just touches our heart every time we hear these type of comments. And we're really blessed to have great individuals that we're helping out.
We're kind of running out of time, but many people probably tuned in after we gave these instructions. But run down what motorists should do when they experience problems to keep them the safest.
Okay, I can recap that, or Leland, do you want to recap it? Or?
I would just suggest try to move your vehicle to the right shoulder, or at least if it's out of power and rolling still, try to advise, put your blinker on or your hazards on and try to get to the right shoulder. The right shoulder is a whole lot safer than the left shoulder. Stay in your car and dial *347. That's a number I would put into my contact list, *FHP, and just make the call, advise them where you think you are. We have people at the TMC that are looking on cameras. They're scanning cameras like a slideshow, and they can actually hone in on one particular area and find you that way. If not, my guys are out there patrolling, and we should find you, and let us do the job. There's many instances I've done where the people had never stepped foot out of their car, mainly because I didn't want them to get in danger. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times you don't realize it, but when you look at something as you're driving down the highway and you see somebody on the shoulder, you tend to steer that way a little bit. You might catch yourself, but a lot of times you do head that way. And unfortunately at nighttime, when we have all the lights on or strobes and the flares might be out, you're like a moth to a flame. You tend to veer towards us. So just kind of stay in the car, make the phone call, and we'll come to you.
And what do you, and just one more time, how to apply to be a road ranger, the number again?
Yeah, it'll be contacting our public information officer, Alicia Torres. It's going to be 305-470-5757 is our main number to the TMC.
And anything you want to say to our listeners before we go?
One thing I want to add, I've always told anybody that's out on the highway, what's the cost of a tire versus your life? So like Leland saying, move it out of traffic. The best thing to do is, weigh those options and get to a safe location.
Well, we've been speaking with Joe Snyder. He is with the Florida Department of Transportation, SunGuide Transportation Management Center, Intelligent Transportation Services District, 6 Transportation Manager. That's a mouthful. And thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Leland DeBuie is with the District 6 Road Ranger Field Service Patrol. Leland, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us here. I'm sorry.
Our pleasure.
Boy, those guys are great. Thanks for joining us for our All in a Day's Work feature. It was conceived by Peter Mertz and produced by Polly Landis. Lead producer Richard Ives gave additional assistance and technical direction provided by online producer Paul Leary. Of course, we have free audio archives and downloads at our website. That's WLRN.org. And more information, links, and photos at the Topical Currents Facebook page. So tune in tomorrow for a few scary jolts and surprising information. We'll look into the history, legends, and even the physiology of being scared with sociologist Margie Kerr. Just in time for Halloween, she's written Scream, Chilling Adventures in the Science of Fear. Vincent Price?
Close.
Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.